And you just remain standing alone. Would you lift up your hands all over the house today? I love doing this.
I'm on now. There we go. I'm the answer. Shout it out with the I'm the answer, not the problem. Because of Jesus in me. Hallelujah. I'm here glad for Jesus today. I used to tell them, I'd say, they'd be lifting their hands like this, and I'd say, come on, guys, get your elbows above your ears. Let's do it like we mean it. Here's what the Bible says. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. But what are you waiting on? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We honor you and we magnify you for who you are, Jesus. You're good. We look to you who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love to lift my hands because it's still illegal in Cuba. And still legal here. And we're going to hang on to it. Come on, are you here today? Lord, we love you. I know what it's like to sneak around the underground church in communist countries, and I don't like it. And I'm thankful that freedom rings here and that those who are called by His name are standing and believing God for great things ahead for this nation. Absolutely. I'm tired of the doom and gloom. How many books are you going to buy and how many times are they going to be wrong? Come on. Good things are ahead for those who believe. We worship you and magnify you, Jesus. We will not become weary and faint in our minds because we are looking to you who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Come on, say it out loud. Author and finisher of my faith. Amen. I've got gifts and callings. I've got places to go. I've got people to share the good news with. I've got things that need to happen yet. This nation, God is not done with her. So God, we honor you and love you today. Give you thanks for who you are. Deliver us from religion. Set us anew and afresh this morning in relationship with you. Let our message of grace never become a methodology or a message. Let this great grace in which we function and know and grow be born out of relationship. For these things, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. And everybody whimpered and whispered, amen. Amen. There we go, there we go, there we go. Come on, everybody shouted, amen. Amen. You know what amen means, don't you? So be it. What did Chad say last week? Where is everybody? Did he do okay? I heard he did awesome. You're going to be hearing from him, by the way, once a month. We're going to plug this guy in. God's doing some good stuff. And I love the gift of the teacher in him. And so we're looking forward to that. Well, are you blessed?
Yes.
You mean it? Okay, then I guess we can be seated. You can. I won't. I'll remain standing, walking around. Praise the Lord. This morning, I don't know. My message, once again, is more of an exhortation and encouragement than it is a 1-2-3 with a poem. I don't do that anyway. Very good, if ever. We live in challenging times. We're seeing everything that those of us who are believers and love this nation, love what she stood for, what she stands for, I believe still, being challenged on every front. And we're being challenged individually, like never before. The unseen foe is doing all he can to oppress, to discourage, to disconnect us from a lifestyle of worship. David was not unfamiliar with struggle and adversity. Turn with me to Psalms 18. This is not my message, but this is just coming to me right now. It's one you hear me, verse 3, you hear me quote a lot. The devil is after your worship because it's your worship which speaks of your intimacy, your love, your faith, that childlike trust. Jesus said in Matthew 18 that you have to have the faith like a child to enter into this kingdom. How many are glad we are in the kingdom? But we also know the Word of God tells us, as we have received, Paul said, Christ, so also should we walk in them. And every day, the challenge is to remain as a child, not a fool. Aware of the times we live in, but putting our trust in Him. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Here's David in the Old Testament, Psalms 18. He says, I'll read the, let me read the heading that I have here in my Bible. It says, calling upon God in distress. Above Psalms 18 in my Bible, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, or we could say, and he sang, I will love thee. Woo! You got a chill bump yet? I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Would you say that together with me today? I will love thee. Come on, lift your hands. Forget about who's around you. I love you today, Lord, who are my strength. The Lord is my rock. Look at verse 2. And my fortress. He is your deliverer this morning. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation. My high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Don't fall prey to the enemy's ploy. We see more division right now in families, in churches, friendships, businesses, race, creed. I mean, on every front. Don't fall for the lie. And I believe that like Elisha of old, I love Elisha. If we have time, we'll get there. Never know. May never get there. I keep trying. Like Elisha of old, he didn't need to see anything. He already knew. He was one of the most beautiful types of Christ. Very different even from Elijah. He didn't ask the Lord to open his eyes to see the chariots of fire that surrounded the hills and the mountains and their defense in the spirit realm. He asked that his servant would see. He was confident without seeing anything. Paul says in Corinthians, he says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Are you here this morning? Are you still walking by faith? Amen. Childlike trust. Come on, people. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. And I believe that with all the fear, like I said, there it seems like people are being challenged on every possible front. Every time you go into town now, it's a battle for me. I do good about 2/3 of the time I'm in there, and by the end, I'm wanting to rip masks off and scream in people's ears. And that's not right. A lot of people are just afraid. And so much misinformation. But I'm so glad that He who has called us is faithful to complete that which He has begun in us. And as we stand for this nation, for our state, some good things are in store. I really believe with all of my heart, there are some huge surprises for those who seek to take this nation down And those that seem to be in power aren't as powerful as they seem. I believe the voice of the righteous will be heard. Do you feel the anticipation? So don't be intimidated. Stand like we've said all along. Stand firm. With that thought in mind, I just want to take a few moments. And then we'll pick back up where I was headed there just a moment ago. This is one of the fastest growing churches in America right now. Prestonwood Baptist Church, Dr. Jack Graham. Pastor. He says, in 2016, I, along with others, were invited to be part of Donald Trump's Religious Advisory Council. He had attended the First Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, Florida, a few times when I was pastor there in the late 1980s. Are you praying? Are you registered to vote? Yes. Thank God it is highly unlikely in Chino Valley that we will have to wear a mask to go vote. But if you're watching me on a video from somewhere else, wear a mask. Whatever you got to do, whatever they try to make you do, you do whatever you got to do and you vote. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. I'm not saying wear a mask. You know where I stand on all that. Yes. But I'm saying if you're in another state or you're somewhere down in the valley where they're trying to play games and you can't vote unless, well, for the one time, break your rule, do whatever you got to do, vote for your biblical values and principles. And I think the choices are clear. That's the one time. You can get a Trump 2020 on it or whatever you want to do. I don't own one, never will. I always shock people. I walk into businesses and I say, I won't, never will. So how do you want to handle it? And it amazes me. Went into a big business in the valley and signs everywhere and they'd stopped another guy and I just walked right in the doors. I said, I'm here to pick up about $3,000 worth of flooring and you got a choice. I don't, won't, ever. But how do you want to deal with it? And he looked at the other managers over there and he said, come here, I'll help you. Anyway, I don't need to get off on that again. I do that every time. Lord, forgive me. You forgive me. Let's move forward. Okay, so here we are. So when he decided to run for president, like me, many of the evangelical world did not know him. Most of us didn't like him. And he was a long shot among conservatives in America, but in the providence of God, he was elected for such a time as this, and the rest is history. I've gladly served as evangelical advisor for evangelicals. It was the first time a small window of opportunity to stem the tide of secularism and liberalism in our beloved nation out of a hope that we could advance the principles of faith and the culture and better the lives of Americans to be salt and light as Jesus has commanded all of his followers. Some Christians who think us foolish and gullible have met this effort with skepticism and cynicism, decidedly ignoring the many ways President Trump has positively impacted our country and honored the beliefs that Americans and Christians hold dear. It's so sad. Our critics seem to have theologies with so little grace that they fail to recognize that someone with an unrighteous past, King Cyrus, ring a bell? Hello. Can still make righteous decisions on behalf of those they lead. What we have seen happen over the past 3 years appears to be the providential hand of God at work as President Trump has kept his promises to people of faith in an unbelievable fashion as recently as the last few days over and over and over again. For example, the appointment of two conservative Supreme Court justices. This is before what we're looking at right now. In the federal judiciary to be a legacy for the Trump administration generations to come. Religious freedom protections are now securely in place and are critical to the proclamation of the gospel and the security of the churches, religious organizations in our country and the world. President Trump is also decidedly pro-life, stating unequivocally the importance of protecting the unborn. His policies reflect the protection of pro-life pregnancy centers and adoptions. Listen, people. If nothing else affects the way you vote, that should direct your vote. It is time to wake up. I cannot believe, and if you're in here, please forgive me. I don't know, you haven't heard any stories, so you can relax. I can't believe the spirit-filled believers that voted for Obama because of their benefits, knowing amen or oh me. Thank God for grace. We're learning. Moving on. When it comes to humanitarian, let me just back up. Just take into account State Department's, let me back up a little more. When it comes to the United States' role in advocating for religious liberty around the world, the facts are incontrovertible. Just take into account the State Department, ministerial on international religious freedom, which represented the largest human rights event of any kind in State Department history. You don't hear this stuff in the mainstream media, which is no longer news, it's propaganda. When it comes to humanitarian assistance, the United States government is actually providing more humanitarian assistance around the world than any previous administration. Why is this important to me? Because America has stood as a shining light. The gospel, like no time ever in history, and still goes around the world because of America. We want that to stay that way. The world still needs to hear about Jesus. We still have a 1040 window that is still largely closed. Why I get so angry at these doom and gloom, and if I hear the harbinger one more time, I'm going to smack somebody. Quit it. I believe God's wrath was fully exhausted already in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not wrathful and angry anymore. It was His plan, for God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loves the evil. If He told us to pray for our enemies, where does He stand in reference to His enemies? Stop it. There is something called consequence. A nation that honors God will be blessed. A nation who walks away from God will experience the curse. But it will not be God rendering the curse. It is no different than Galatians 3:13, which says, He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And then he describes the purpose, so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles. Before that full, beautiful message, he renders a warning to you and I. But if you go back under the law, you will experience the curse. He didn't say God's going to get you anymore. It's called consequence of sin. But God is not angry anymore. Then where do you get that from, Pastor Lee? Well, being we're talking about that, and I'm just exhorting this morning, turn with me one more time to Isaiah 54. Verse 7, prophetically speaking, he just got through prophetically speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus, our current high priest, who intercedes for us 24/7 right now, who's unashamed of the biggest failure in the body of Christ right now, because his blood was enough. Yes, you heard me right. Funny how failure is defined. Funny how we still measure and compare among each other. Would you lift your hands up this morning all over the room, say the blood was enough. Time to get over me. My comparing me to others. The ground at the bottom of the cross is absolutely level. If not for the grace of God, there go I. Stop the judgment and bless. Isaiah 53. Oh, what a beautiful description of the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And you're on my behalf. bloodshed for our iniquities. Stripes borne for our diseases. Yeah, but that was spiritual. Or was it really? Then how come when Jesus was healing, he says, I do this so that it may be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. How many are glad he is our healer this morning? Just a few days ago, October the 5th, 30 years ago, I laid prostrate on a concrete floor with my leg busted right there, dangling off back over behind me, not knowing that my main artery and my main vein had been severed completely in two. Doctors to this day do not understand why I'm alive. Any of you who are medical people know that that artery and vein is as big around as your thumb, and you're dead in less than a minute. My little wife happened to be there, full of the Holy Ghost. What came out of her was what she'd been putting in her, and she began to jump up and down and spin in a circle. And I could hear through the blinding pain the voice of a little blondie jumping in circles, saying, Jesus! 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 And then I'd hear her pray in tongues. They don't know why I'm alive. Almost 6 hours in surgery with no blood flow the rest of my leg. 30 years ago, they said, you'll be on blood thinners the rest of your life. You'll struggle with blood clotting for the rest of your life. No more horseback for you, Mr. Cowboy. And you won't be able to travel for more than 20 minutes at a time. Your life is altered at 28 years of age. You will never be the same. God spoke a word to my wife. She threw a Bible on my chest and said, honey, God has spoken. He said, you will be as if nothing ever happened, save for a limp. When I was in my pity party saying, God, where were you? Our years together on the mission field, she slammed that Bible in my chest and said, you will believe it. God has spoken. Then she turned on a tape recorder, cassette tape, up where I couldn't reach it to turn it off because I was mad at God and had healing scriptures running 24/7. 18 days. Multiple pints of blood. I can tell you, I've spent many a day horseback since then, doing whatever I want. How many know he is our healer? That was pretty anemic. How many know he is our healer? Amen. Our provider, our protector, our all in all. That's Isaiah 53. Here's 54. Prophetically speaking, of when Jesus would take our place, hanging between heaven and earth, heaven and hell, if you would. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, the perfect, righteous, pure Lamb of God, a supernatural divine exchange. The picture seen in the exchanging of wardrobe between David and Jonathan. For kings and priests he's made us to be. For your royal priesthood, Peter said, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called out to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness. How many glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many glad for Jesus today? We got eight. How many glad for Jesus today? Oh, man. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So that we might, I mean, this was an arbitrary, supernatural, divine exchange. You had it right, Sean, a gift. God is speaking to Israel. Paul put it this way. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto our complete deliverance and wholeness and provision on every front. Look at the original word for salvation there to blow your mind. It's not fire insurance. It's about living, coming alive. To everyone that believeth. How many believers we got in the house this morning? What about the rest of you? Do we need to just stop and have an altar call right now? How many believers we got in the house this morning? I think I know everybody. See, you ought to have both hands and one foot in the air. How many believers we got this morning? Oh, man. To the Jew first. That was a design because of Abraham. But thank God he didn't stop there. For Galatians reveals there's one seed. I don't care if people talk about replacement theology, you're full of it. You can define it. That went right over your head. No replacement. It's called fulfillment of the promise of God. The true Israel. Those called by His name. Washed by the blood. Citizens now of another country. I'm very glad for Jesus today. So speaking prophetically to you and I, He says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. He was speaking of Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't understand all this weeping and wailing and rolling around in sackcloth and ashes for our nation, begging God to do something that He wants to do more than you do. That's not intercession, that's bondage. I said, that's not intercession, that's bondage. Well-intended, I'd rather them do that than nothing. But people, we don't function from failure. We function from victory. Are you here today? He says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting. I want you, if you've never read that before, underline that in your Bible. This is what the new covenant brought into place. I want you to look at it. I wish all the doomsday sayers could see this. With everlasting kindness. Will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord, thy Redeemer. This is long before the cross. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth. That's King James for angry. With thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on thee. Verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppress, for thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Jump on down to the end of the chapter. Verse 17, and this morning I want you to stand today with me. We're going to speak this over ourselves, and we're going to speak this over President Trump. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Come on, are you here today? You having church? God forbid. I'm tired of having church. Welcome to a place of fellowship and faith and grace. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I take that for me. I take it for you. I take it for our leaders. And in particular this morning, for our president. May they repeatedly fail at their attempts. For it's not him they hate as much as what he is doing that represents somebody else. Whether he's fully aware of it or not. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the saints, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Come on, let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship. Lord, we worship you. We worship you this morning. Thank you for righteousness. How we love you. You can, you may be seated. We're walking through. I've done my best to do what I can to provide some leadership through this deal, and I understand that I've not done a perfect job. I'm not looking for compliments, so don't come up to me, "Oh, Pat, no, you're just doing so good. You're just..." Stop. I don't need it. That's not what I'm after. I know that I'm human. I know that this has been extraordinary times. It's called for extraordinary approaches and dealing with issues and pitfalls, and we've gotten people that have gotten angry and left. We've got other people that come and they listen long enough to know that I'm not a doomsday prophetic guy, and they fly away, and I'm at a point where I don't really care. We're going to preach the truth, and if it's just one or two of us, and I'm also aware that we're in times, everything is changing. This valley, people, you can either resist it and fight it, or you can understand that God knows what's going on and God has a plan. It's going to fill up. On the cowboy level, I hate it and I don't like it. I see our woods filling up, our lakes filling up. Changes. Who knows how it'll affect the voting booth? I meet a lot of people from out of state, though, and they seem like they got their head in the right place. But that's thinking on a purely earthly level. This valley's going to fill up, and there's a plan of God. There's a place. A foundation's being laid here. Now, I'm talking about just here. Churches and pastors in our area. And we need to recognize change and not resist times and seasons. And callings and giftings. Not be afraid of change. Well, I want to hear you say it one more time. You look pretty sober. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord! Come on! Oh, man. A lot of stuff. Turn with me to Psalms 119. I was reading. How many of you are familiar with Ron Hutchcraft? Radio. You don't hear much here on this radio around here. I followed him for years. The radio broadcast. He says, when our kids were younger, we did a lot of camping together. You say, well, how was it? Well, how was it being like that with the kids? Well, I would have to say camping was intense. How many could agree? Well, there is a pun in here somewhere. Anyway, we get ready for bed at night. It was in the tents. We were in the tents, and we would just get each of the three kids tucked into their sleeping bags, get it all zipped up, tied up, and he says, I would go and tie the flap of the tent, zip it closed, turn out the light, crawl in, get nicely situated in my sleeping bag. How many of you parents know what's coming? All secure, turn over, and then there in the dark, you'd hear a little voice saying, Daddy, I've got to go to the potty. Well, so reverse the process. Unzip my sleeping bag, get unsecure, go over, untie theirs, unzip their sleeping bag, untie the tent flap, etc., etc. You know, stagger out into the night, of course, guided only by our trusty little Coleman lantern. I'll tell you, it was a long, dark walk, usually to that bathroom. We couldn't see our destination, but we could see enough. Hello. I'm Ron Hutchcraft, and I want to have a word with you today about all the light you need. Said our word for today from the Word of God is found in Psalms 119:105. Pretty familiar words, maybe. Your word, David says to the Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, I'll tell you, that makes me think back to my campground days and going out staggering towards the bathroom with a little child in the middle of the night with only my lantern. And you know what? It gave us insight into how God leads us. How he makes his will known. You might be wondering what his will is right now. You need to know it right now. All of it. God, I want to know. Well, he does it like my camping lantern did. He gives us just enough light for the next step. That's not how we want it. We want to see the whole path. We want to see the destination. We're trying to figure out the big plan. And God is trying to show us the next step. Now, why does he just give us a light for the next step, for the next place we need to go on the path? Well, first, you can only take one step at a time anyway. So he gives us what we can handle. Secondly, if God shows you everything ahead, you'd probably either run to it or run from it. Either way, you'd ruin it. Now, when you get to it, after all, the steps toward it, it will seem natural. It will seem just right. But you see, you're not ready for that yet. You will be, but you can't skip the steps, he says. So I want us to reopen up your Bibles. Now, we just quoted it to you. I know there have been many places in my childhood as a young man following my dad up over through places in Guatemala, both in vehicle, horseback, walking paths with the Mon and Quiche Indians, where in the middle of the night, with nothing but a flashlight, or literally many times with nothing but an old oil lantern, we saw the path as we worked our way up through little footpaths and roots and laughed and talked our way. And I still remember, and Brother Daniel can certainly identify with this, I'll never forget looking back down the mountain and seeing a string of lanterns working their way up the side of a canyon and hear them singing on their way to a service. What has happened to us? We go over an hour and a half once a week and people complain. But at any rate, I'll not meddle. Looking back over and seeing all of that, and not many times when the next day the sun rose and we looked at the path that we had taken, and some of them little turns that we made with nothing but a lantern to show the next step, if you'd have slipped and fallen, you'd have fallen to your death. I'll never forget a time with Karsten Hogue getting out of a place after it had rained for 3 days. We were way high up in the pines in the mountains in Honduras. We decided prayerfully, along with the other pastors, after we got done with the meeting that night, we'd plan to stay until the next day. And one of the guys that went to the church, he was anxious for me to see his horses. He had a ranch and the whole deal. We had to beg forgiveness. We'll come back. We're getting out of here. And in that old British Land Rover, not like these new ones, I'm talking about the metal box, we worked our way out. And I'll tell you what, when we went back and saw, we went in there under cover of darkness and left. When we went back and saw where we were at, there were times when we were in four-wheel drive, headed straight up like this, pouring rain and mud rolling at us, and we were literally doing this. And catch it and get our way back up and get against the inside of that road, up against the bank, and work our way up and get around a curve, and we'd start going backwards. And when we went back and looked like we'd have tumbled end over end over end over end over end over end. And Caleb and I know many people that have done that. If we'd have known more than what we saw, we probably wouldn't have attempted where we went. We're right now in a bunch of never-befores, shifting sands of our nation, our culture, in the church. I must confess to you, I'm disappointed with the church. I love her. I'm glad some of these men are starting to stand up. But why weren't there hundreds of more Jack Hibbs? About time, John Hagee. Now that it's popular and everybody's bailing in on it, you're able to stand up there and really give your gusto. I love you and I'm glad you're doing it. But we needed you 4 months ago. Thank God for the men who did. It's shameful when Hillsong Church, and I hope they do hear it, and I don't mind calling names anymore, has a special day of prayer for Bria Taylor. What's the matter with you people? Do you not do your own homework? Do you not know what happened there? A pure ploy of the left? A straight up lie devised against what is right? An Assemblies of God spirit filled, or was? I love them. I will continue. I'm not bailing on them, but wake up! Yeah. But you know what they're afraid of? Loss of tithes and offerings. Yeah. They're afraid of what we have here this morning. Because I didn't cross my eyes and dot my I's and cross my T's. See, I just did it just now. Cross my T's and dot my I's just right. Say it just right. You know, just be loving. When my little girl, at just a few years of age, true story, was chasing a ball that I had bought for her. Little Amber, running out across our yard. We lived in a back road. Nobody, you didn't see anybody back there. Out into a dirt road, and I could hear a truck roaring coming down the road. Not normal. And that ball rolled out, and I stepped out just in time to see little Amber down through the ditch and up onto the road. This didn't sound like love, but it was with all the love that I could muster from my toes. Amber, stop! She didn't understand it then. Dad had yelled at her, had stopped her from her pursuit, something that I had given to her that represented my love. But I wasn't worried about how I was coming across at the moment. I was concerned about her because I loved her. Not a message, not a theme, not a denomination. A person. Man, I didn't even plan on going here this morning. What in the world got... Okay, so here we go. I may love Jesus today. We're in uncharted waters. A lot of questions. I'm not standing up here saying, follow me, because I've been in the closet, man, prayer closet, and I got it all figured out. But there's some few things that I do know. And I want to read them to you out of the promise book. Not the coping poems book, the promise book. Psalm 119. We'll read this first. 105. Thy word, would you just read it with me today? Thy word. I want you to realize something. David was called a man after God's own heart. lot of us have gotten kind of twisted around on what that means. But the biggest part of that was that he illegally presumed upon God for mercy. He deserved death. And he knew it. There's a lot of other things. I mean, I got a whole teaching on just that alone. But David, his understanding of the Word of God, thy word, largely had to do with the law. Now, I don't believe, there's many that say it was just that. Well, I don't know, because David also, a type of Christ. David also the worshiper. David also who found a place of intimacy with his God ahead of his time. These are reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiper. He was not the big, stout, broad-shouldered, tall Saul. But he was the favorite of the Lord for a position that God did not want for Israel. God's always wanted intimacy. Let me speak to you through the prophets. Let me talk to you personally. No, we want a king. God said, you want a king? Here's my choice. A worshiper. I'm looking forward to talking to David. David, well, the book of Psalms, as if I remember right from Bible school, and I might be off a number two, but I don't think I am, has at least 83, if not over 83, specific prophecies in the book of Psalms alone. Supernatural prophecies in reference to Jesus. Psalm 22, everybody's familiar with Psalm 23. Psalm 22 is a mind blower, for it prophetically speaks of pierced hands, of Roman shoulders, casting lots for his garments. Precious. Supernatural. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, is a description of our Jesus. Pretty awesome. Thy word, even with all of that, though, did David really grasp what the revelation to John was? Found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. David understood in part, but today, for those of us who are in Jesus, the Word isn't a list of rules that we follow, but it's someone who's alive on the inside of us. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I never quote the rest of that verse because it's not in the original, in italics. It comes later. The next verse says, for the law, a new law, the law of the Spirit of life, Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the other law of sin and death. Would you raise both hands up all over the house this morning and say, the Word is alive on the inside of me. Don't we say thy Word? Oh man, it's not just a knowledge of truth on a page, but it's a knowledge of truth on the inside. You say, where are you getting that from? Well, keep reading the first chapter. It says Moses gave the law, John 1:17, but grace and truth came. Well, hello to us through him. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Say it out loud with me. Grace and truth are mine. In the good times, in the bad times, The winds of confusion may blow, but I have a sure foundation. The sands of time and of life may shift, but my feet, come on people, help me out. My feet are planted on a rock. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now he will show you things to come. He promised he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he would show you things. He wasn't going to show it all to you. It's still a step by step in Jesus. He's not going to overwhelm you. Remember years ago, a church that we started together with a good friend of mine in Florida grew to be a very healthy church of over 400. Not huge, but impacted our area, huge. And we had a conference for youth called Leadership 2000. We had kids come in from Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Miami. 80% of them were black and Hispanic. And we set up workshops. The guy that I coordinated this with, who's now since gone on to be the Lord, Joseph Jennings, he was an ex-Crip. Still had a bullet in his hip. Crazy man with quite a testimony. Got born again, was actually mentored under Lester Sumrall. But by this time, he developed kind of a big name, and I loved Joseph. We were like brothers. You're talking about the odd couple. Cowboy with a gangbanger. But it was a time when, you know, the name, it happens to people. The name was kind of getting to be well known, and it was affecting them. We had this conference, and I remember I walked into one of the, it was a room maybe about half this size, and we had all of our fifth and sixth graders from the church in there, and there's probably a group along with these people from the outside. There's probably a group of maybe, I don't know, 50 in there. I don't remember exactly, quite a group. And I heard one of the people who were speaking at the conference, in their effort to shock these young people into living pure lives, talking about things that were, I mean, sexual things that were, you know, trying to, you know, just really, like Joseph Jennings, I mean, just really hit them in the face with the truth and wake them up. And I listened to that for a minute and waited till the next break. And I went to where Joseph Jennings was. The other guy said, look, we appreciate you guys and what you're doing here. This is awesome. But there's something you need to learn from me. I've been doing this youth thing for a while, too. You see what we have. We had quite a ministry at that time. I said, what's going on in there stops right now. Even good information too early is destructive. Wish our public schools knew about that. Even good information too early is destructive. And I said, that won't happen anymore. And he and the others bowed up. I said, well, if you're going to run that, I said, I'm not saying I'm going to run it. I'm telling you, you're not going to do that. And they didn't. And our relationship was never the same. And you got to have the guts, people, by the way. This is a side note. This is free. Sometimes you got to have enough love to walk away. Or to let somebody walk away. Jesus presented the truth to a young rich ruler. And the man grieved in his heart and said, I can't do that. And walked away, and Jesus went out and said, hey man, listen, we can work something out. You're talented. You'd really be a great addition to our ministry. I like what the Spirit of God said through Paul, 2 Timothy. He said, commit the things that you've seen and heard of me. Commit it to faithful men who will be able to teach. Don't commit it to the talented. Commit it to the faithful. I'll take care of the talent. We've propped so many people up from B.J. Thomas to the most recent debacle, Brian, whatever, from Corn. Over and over and over again, taking celebrities with talent, propping them on a stage for own benefits and watch them destroyed. Commit. Faithful. There's a place to be found faithful. To grow. Don't skip steps. My word is a lamp unto your feet. One step at a time. Grow and know. How many love Jesus? You doing all right? Good information. Too soon. There's a lot of things that I would love to know. Chris and I have talked about it. You don't want to be a fool. Financially. Where's this going? What's happening after the election? You need to, it's okay to ask the Lord for direction and to gather information, but be careful that your strength doesn't become that. Some things we're just not supposed to know. It's better for us not to know till the time. He is our strength. He is our source. He is our provider. And He's going to take us through. One step at a time. You know, this is really good preaching. Now, you know me better than that. So if you're sitting, boy, that's kind of arrogant. What would be arrogant is for me to pretend. And I'm not even going to go there. Okay. Turn me to Psalm 37. Here's a picture of what that looks like. And I'm so glad I'm going to at least get my introduction done today. Unless you want to stay here for another hour. No, I think we're almost saturated. It's time to quit. I didn't get to all this, but what's new? Psalm 37. Verse 1. You want a word from the Lord today? Here it goes. Fret not. Worry not. Boy, I'm talking to Lee right now. I'm shouting to Leeford right now. You think I'm pointing you? Look at the three back at me. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. God help me, Sherry. Boy, have I gotten in a tunnel a few times. Don't look at me like that. You know better than I am. You have been too. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. You want to know God's direction and will for you right now? Trust in the Lord and do good. That's a nice way of saying behave yourself in the Holy Ghost. Be kind. Oh, Kyle. I don't have tattoos like you, Kyle. But they're still there. Yeah, I know. Oh, man. It just looks so tough. Huh? I know. It's amazing what God does. He said, stop telling on me. Where was I at? Where's my Bible? Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily, if you jump through your hat, stacking up provision for at least 2 years. Nothing wrong with prep. I'm not talking to anybody in here this morning. You don't need to worry. I think some of you have done. I mean, who knows what God could do through you to provide for others. We don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be some bumps. There probably is going to be some. I don't think we're going to feel them here, like in a lot of places, but I could be wrong. At least we're ready. But your trust better not be there. Get out of that tunnel. Trust in the Lord and do good, and He's going to feed you. There's simplicity for you. A kiss from God. Keep it simple, stupid. He doesn't call you stupid, but you know what I'm saying. He calls you beloved, highly favored. That's Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That scripture changed my life, a revelation of it, and started me on the course towards grace within months of leaving where we were at on our way to here 17 years ago. Commit thy will unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will, Sally Bates, bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. That was our message 2 weeks ago. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices, chips, vaccines, monitoring, contact tracing. Del Rio, right now, ready to roll, if they could get it passed. Thank God for a president who, and I don't know what happened. Did he have it? I know in 2 days he didn't. If he did have it, and now he doesn't, and all that he said is true, he just blew. It just hadn't caught up yet. He put a screen door in their submarine. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And right here, I'm so glad the Holy Ghost isn't a slapper. But I need it. I deserve it. I'm glad he doesn't give me what I deserve. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Oof. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I don't see Bob Reed this morning, but he and I've talked about it a lot. The battle belongs to the Lord. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. We're winning sooner or later anyway. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yet thou shalt diligently consider this place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. That's lifestyle. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed. This is supernatural. This is a word for right now. Some of you need to take this. Don't take this just for you today. Absorb this and give it to somebody. They need to hear it. People are a little nuts right now. They're freaked out. They're not coping well. I mean, you just see it more and more. I see a very nice-looking, professionally dressed woman mid-40s. I'm pulling them out on Glassford Hills Road and pulling into that little area up in there, kind of tucked in by Wendy's, and I don't remember what all is in there, trying to get back around because I'd missed my turn because of traffic, whatever. And this gal pulls out in a really nice car, and there's already somebody in her right lane, my left properly, getting ready to try to get out, and the traffic's crazy. And this lady comes flying around, and she comes into my lane and pulls right up and looks at me and slams on her horn. And I just, I was like, and then she cursed me. So I lovingly put my diesel into park, revved the engine hard, and blew the horn. You move. She cursed me again, rolled down her window. You could tell that's not her norm. This is a professional. It's all over. You know what I'm talking about. She backs up. And, of course, timid, soft-spoken me just left. I pulled up right to where she was at and rolled down my window. She couldn't go anywhere. And I said, ma'am, what in the world possessed you? Why would you curse me like that? You look like somebody who knows better. Why would you do that? That was rude. I hope you have a better day. God bless you. She looked at me like she was shocked. But she was getting ready for something else. And so was I till my mouth opened up. He'll put words in your mouth if you let him. People are going nuts. But I'm not, neither are you. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of the famine, they shall be satisfied. Where is your faith this morning? For we walk by faith, not by sight. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Parting shot, Isaiah 59, verse 19. So shall the fear of the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You came this morning and you need prayer for anything. I'd love to agree with you, together with Leanna and John Corbett, if you would join me on my left. Daryl and Carol, would you join me on my right?